As a deer pants for water. I knew I wrote it down. So pants my soul for you, oh God. My soul thirsts for God, for the one true and living God. There's a desire, there's a thirst. And this is what non-emotional people don't like. They want to say, well, can't worship just be nice and tidy? That's great for your house, but that's terrible for worship. Because God says real worship and real prayer is travail. Did you know that?
Today's Regaining Lost Ground is from a message titled, Lord, O Lord, I Cry Out to You. Pastor Shane reminds you to cry out to God for revival in your heart and eliminate what prevents it. From Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, California, here's Pastor Shane Eidelman.
Sin that keeps taking you down, and you walk around like dead man walking, and you're just, the sin has got you bound, and you can't cry out to God because you're bound in sin, and it's unconfessed, it's not repented of, and somehow you kind of enjoy it, and you hold on to it knowing it's destroying you. And then number three that prevents us from crying out to God is there's uncertainty. Uncertainty. Well, I don't know, Shane. I'm not sure God does that anymore. I mean, all this talk of revival. I don't know. And that person will never receive from God in a powerful way. I believe, I've always had this from day one when we planted the church with 10 people 10 years ago, that we need to come to church expecting God to move. Where has that gone? The spirit of expectation. We shouldn't expect, well, an announcement, three songs, an offering, a final song, 30-minute sermon, a closing song, see you later. Where is the spirit going to move in that? How is the Spirit going to move? You've already got it down. You've already said, God, this is how we're doing church. So uncertainty and kind of having this idea of well, we don't want to be open to this and we don't want to be open to that. And I think it's a wrong view. And then number four, one of my favorite topics, I'm going to preach on it again shortly. I love to do it every year. A wrong view of the Holy Spirit. A wrong view of the Holy Spirit. Many people don't want to cry out to God and get emotional because they say that's emotionalism and that's not real. Really? Why wouldn't God give us emotion? Have you ever held your newborn child? That's pretty emotional. There's something about our emotions being engaged. God has given us this wonderful experience that we can experience God. And then finally, of course, another reason why many people do not cry out to God is there is unbelief. They do not believe in God. And I want to encourage you tonight. I don't know how you came in, but I know how you need to leave. You need to leave knowing God, having a relationship with Him. So what I did, and I believe God directed me, is we were looking at Joel last week, correct? The book of Joel. And Joel talked a few different times about crying out to God in chapter 1. And it's interesting, I began to look at it again this week, and each time, there's three different times, each time he mentioned crying out to God, that verb was used differently. It was actually a different verb each time. It wasn't the same type of crying out. And I said, okay, Lord, what is this? And I began to study these words, and it was incredible. And let me just share them with you as we begin to stir our hearts for closing worship. And my thought is, during closing worship, we don't want to be in a hurry. If you need to leave, I understand. If you're bored, well, that's on you. But there should be a hunger for worship and a hunger for more of God. And during closing worship, you can spread out a little bit and kind of loosen up a little bit and just get your heart right before God and get out of the seats and maybe be more engaged if you would like. I'm not forcing that. I just want to offer that to you, that a sacred assembly often is not pretty. It's not well polished. It's messy. When God moves, among a group of people. There's emotions, there's engagement, there's crying out to God. So in Joel chapter 1 verse 14, we read last week, he said, consecrate a fast, call a sacred assembly, gather the elders and all the inhabitants into the land. Gather them into the church and cry out to the Lord. So that's where I got this title from, cry out to the Lord. And that word there, that verb in this case means this. It's an utterance of anxiety and alarm and distress and sorrow. Well, that doesn't sound very encouraging. He said, cry out to God. In other words, the situation that you are in, the anxiety and the alarm and the distress, have that motivate you to cry out to God. And God's word is very clear. We need to be real about what's going on. Look at the laws that are being passed in Sacramento. Look at the direction of pedophiles. And look at the uptake of the LGBT community and all these different policies and procedures and groups and things that are anti-God and anti-God's word and anti-holiness. And we need to wake up. Look at what's going on around us. So this word here, this verb, cry out to the Lord, it's an utterance of anxiety and alarm and distress. And isn't it interesting that false prophets throughout the Old Testament, do you know what one of the number one traits of a false prophet? The number one trait, you can test me on this, go throughout the Old Testament, it was to tell people peace, peace, when there was no peace. And if you wonder, how are some of these pastors embracing this, or how are some of these Christians embracing all of this? Be careful, they might not know the Lord. Because a false prophet, I'm not just using that loosely, but I truly believe that true spokesmen, women and men for God, will call things out. They will point things out. They will tell you what's going on. Yes, the times are dire. Yes, this is devastating. Yes, what's going on is not pretty. If we're not careful, we need to wake up, because there are groups infiltrating our nation that want to cause a rebellion from the inside out. I hope you know that this, the Antifa and all of that, is funded by people. Funded, paid by people to cause an alarm in America. And that's why in something like this, what they did here, he said, come and cry out to the Lord. There's an alarm, there's a distress, there's a sorrow. Oh God, there's a desperation. God, we call out to you. And I was so concerned when Sacramento passed that law about the age of the pedophile act, or different, I don't want to call it that, but that's basically what it is. Where are the prayer meetings? Where are the prayer meetings? Where are the crying out to God? Where's the fasting? It's like, well, oh, that's too bad. Let me post something on Facebook like God's going to see that. There's no desperation. And that's why this word here, it's call out in alarm and distress and sorrow and say, oh God, if you do not move, we are lost. If you do not intervene, we are lost. If you do not bring us back from the pit of destruction, oh God, we are going down, and we cry out to you in distress. And then he switches the word. In chapter 1, verse 19, O Lord, to you I cry out, for fire has devoured the open pastures. Amen? I cry out to you, Lord, fire is devouring our land. The flame has burned all the trees in the field. And this word in the Hebrew is karah. It's to call, to proclaim God's word. So see, there's a distress and there's an anxiety, but then he says, don't give up, don't give in, don't be discouraged, don't stay there, recognize your situation, but then cry out, call out, proclaim God's word like Jonah did. Oh, Nineveh, in 40 days, God's going to destroy you. And the people repented. Jeremiah called out and the people did not repent. There was a crying out, a proclaiming of God's word. And I believe that sometimes God's word needs to be proclaimed forcefully and boldly. Oh, his word is in my heart like a burning fire shut up in my bones. I'm weary of holding it back. Why? Because the Spirit of God is wanting to draw people and convict people. So he says, cry out to God. And you see him going down the list. There's anxiety, there's alarm, there's distress, there's sorrow. And then once you get to the people, I believe he does that in verse 14 to get the people to realize this is dire. This is dire. Do you all agree that we need to wake up? We are in a dire situation. Look at the place. I just sent my wife another video. The people are just grabbing kids from Costco parking lots or park. They're just grabbing them from their parents. When in the world has that ever happened? And more laws are being passed. You should don't do it. Just take my word for it. The sex ed curriculum in our schools is perversion. It mocks the holiness and righteousness of God and the beauty of marriage and the beauty of sex the way God designed it. They're mocking it, God. They are perverting His justice. They're shaking their little fists in the nostrils of God. And I tell you, that's a battle you can never win. So he said, come into my house and understand how bad it is, how distressed it is, how there's so much anxiety and fear. Recognize it, but do not live there. I think that's for someone as well tonight. You're living in fear. You're living in fear too much. You're looking at the media. You're worried about what's going on around you more than what's going on inside of you. You're allowing fear and these COVID mandates and what's going on. And you're allowing fear to control you and you're not trusting in God. That's a sure sign that you're on the wrong path. Because then fear begins to control us and grip us. One thing I can tell you now, I probably wouldn't say it if my mom was still here, but I don't know if I ever saw her with the mask and she would put it on when she needed to, but she just went about living her life. It's like, well, if I die, I die. God's got my back. Now, we don't just willingly walk into things. I know that. But at some point, you got to say, Lord, I trust you because the safest place you can be in this is in the center of God's will. Anytime I get on an airplane, sometimes I think all these people are very safe right now because if I'm in the center of God's will, there's nothing that can happen. You're trusting in Almighty God, and we've been trusting in too many things. We've been trusting in politicians and watching their feeds, and here goes the death rate. Did you know that many of those numbers are manipulated and skewed and altered to bring fear and anxiety into the hearts of people? The enemy is working overtime. So you need to release that tonight and say, God, I've been fearful. I've been anxious. I've been trusting in everything but you. And tonight I make a decision to cast off fear and put on the spirit of the living God. God's word says he doesn't even give you a spirit of fear, but of peace and of a sound mind. What is a sound mind? A sound mind that concentrates on God and focuses on God. And then he said, when you come into my house, you call out to me. You proclaim my word faithfully. You remind the people who I am and what I've done. And there's such a huge movement, it kind of embarrasses me in the church that so many Christians, I mean, Christian pastors, and I want to be careful. I'm not here to put down anyone. I can slide down that slippery slope just as quick as anyone. I got to stay anchored in God's word or else I'll do the same thing. But they go to the pulpit almost like they have to be apologetic. I know God's words. That's kind of tough. I know. I don't like that blood stuff either. And the hell. It's apologetic. No wonder people aren't being converted. No wonder lives aren't being changed. No wonder marriages aren't being restored. No wonder prodigal sons aren't coming home. Because God doesn't say, make my word palatable. He says, make it powerful by the preaching and proclaiming of the truth. And all of the scripture, Paul said, Timothy, preach all of the truth. Warn, exhort, rebuke, encourage, preach the difficult truths and preach the wonderful truths. Preach heaven and preach hell. Preach grace, but preach holiness. And you'll be amazed at the lives that are changed when a man or woman is filled with the Spirit of God and they simply proclaim God's word faithfully. It's amazing. It's amazing because you really don't have to do a lot. You need to spend a lot of time with God, know His Word, and proclaim it. And then the Spirit of God convicts and draws and leads and quickens the spirit of another person and begins to work in their heart. I better take a drink before this next one. I like this next one too. Verse 20. Chapter 1, verse 20. I also wondered, why is there so much crying out? Because that's our only hope. When we cry out to God, it shows how desperate we are, correct? When you cry for something, when you cry about something, there's a desperation in your heart. Now, you can't manufacture it. Don't take some water and splash it on your face and say, I'm crying. Or get weird and cry. This cannot be manufactured. It comes from a broken, humble heart where the Holy Spirit of God is breaking and breaking and breaking. And you get to a point of total submission and faithfulness to God. He said something interesting here. Even the beasts of the field, even the beasts of the field cry out to you, God. For the water brooks are dried up and the fire has devoured the open pasture. And that word, cry out, is to long for, to pant. Even the beast, even the, like, and I thought instantly of Psalms, as a deer pants after water, so my soul pants for you. And he said, when you cry out for me, it can't be superficial. It has to be a longing for, or a panting, or a strong desire. And if you don't have that tonight, say, God, I want that. I don't want to leave here. I don't want to leave here just normal and lukewarm. I want my soul to pant after you. As a deer pants for water, I knew I wrote it down, so pants my soul for you, oh God. My soul thirsts for God, for the one true and living God. There's a desire, there's a thirst, and this is what non-emotional people don't like. They want to say, well, can't worship just be nice and tidy? That's great for your house, but that's terrible for worship, because God says real worship and real prayer is travail. Did you know that? Real, when you're worshiping, you're and praying, biblically speaking, a lot of times it's travail. When Zion travails, sons and daughters are born, and he likens it to a pregnant woman giving birth, saying, oh God, I need to hear from you. You need to save my children. You need to rebuild my marriage. You need to strengthen my faith. And God, I cry out to you. I'm travailing, and I want you to answer, Lord. My soul thirsts for you. How many of you are thirsty for God tonight? Do you know how you can tell? What does your spiritual diet consist of? Are you feeding your mind with the things of God? Or the things of the world? Is there a hunger for God? And what I like about being hungry for God is it's contagious. What I mean by that is the more you hunger and desire the things of God, the more you read His Word, the more you worship, the hungrier you become. This isn't like a natural appetite. You eat too much, you're full, you're done. Oh, with God, it's the bursting of the seams. It's this living water that Christ talked about. That's why when people fast, they often have a deeper, more intimate relationship with God during that time, because the flesh is starved and their hunger for food and the things of the flesh has been minimized, and the spirit is being lifted up and built up, and they begin to pant after God, and they begin to hunger for God and desire after God. And I think those are very healthy things. I want to teach my children how to hunger and thirst after God and pick themselves back up when they fall. Prayer and worship That's what we're going to go into when we conclude the service, prayer and worship. The two primary ways that we express longing for God. Did you know that? It's not necessarily in our words, although that's wonderful. But when we pray and when we worship, that's how we express longing for God. And I'm going to just briefly talk about prayer. I'm actually going to remind you about the power of prayer as we go into that in just a little bit. I borrowed an excerpt from tomorrow morning's sermon. I hope that's okay. So you're going to hear a snapshot of tomorrow's sermon. And I've read this before to members of Westside, I think back when the pandemic started. And I want you to remember this. When you go into prayer tonight, that prayer is a great sin killer. Amen? It's a fear quencher. It's a power bringer. It's a victory giver. Prayer is a holiness promoter. It's a lust eliminator. It's an obstacle remover. It's a time changer. It's a life sustainer. It's a demon slayer. It's a wisdom giver. It's a peace promoter. It's a depression lifter. It's an anxiety demolisher. It's an anger suppressor. It's a weakness remover. It's a strength booster. And it's a revival stimulator. When the church gets on their face before God and cries out, when Zion travails, sons and daughters are born, there's a cry, there's God bursts things in your heart. But when you start to pray, those things become a reality. Prayer moves the hand of God. Prayer will do anything that God can do. You receive not because you ask not. Jesus, how do we pray? Our Father who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You are glorious. You are great. You are lifted up on the throne. And when you get a glimpse of God, you have to pray. When you see God and you experience God, prayer becomes your heartbeat. That's why I don't know why so many people are confused when they ask, well, what did Paul mean to be praying all day? That's impossible, Shane. No, it's not. He's not stopping prayer. He got to work, but there's the heartbeat of prayer. It's the fragrance of prayer. It's the atmosphere of prayer that God is an ever-present help in time of need. It's the life you lead. You're breathing the essence of God, and you're taking in that throughout your day, and your prayers are throughout the day, and it's a life of prayer. And when you experience God, He will change you. It will change your heart. I just read this week, and it just leaped out at me. I love this story. When Isaiah, when he had a vision of God, he said it was in the year that King Uzziah died. I saw the Lord high and lifted up. The train of His robe filled the entire temple, and the cherubim covered their face and covered their feet, and they flew and they cried out, "Holy, holy, holy is our God. Holy, holy is our God." And the temple, the foundation of the temple, began to shake. And when you move the foundations of this temple, Almighty God is moving among you. And He said, "Oh, I'm a man of unclean lips, and I dwell among a people of unclean lips." And God began to remove that uncleanness. So let me encourage you tonight, even though you don't see the prayers being answered, they will be answered. At my mom's memorial, there's coming a few ladies that have been praying with her every week for 20 some years. And the power of prayer, many of those prayers were not realized. I tell you this story. I know some of you have heard it before, but I love it. I would go out. I'm getting ready. I'm probably already had a few drinks. And my mom would just, I'd say, "Don't pray for me tonight. I want to have some fun. Don't pray for me. I want to have some fun." And she would put that Bible over those ACD albums. They had albums back then. And Judas Priest and Metallica and the darkness and the sin. And she would say, "Devil, you can't have my son. I'm going to pray. I'm going to intercede on behalf of my family. And you can do the same thing." It's not how profound your prayers are. It's how powerful they are, because they're going to God and God alone. The power of prayer moves the mountains. The power of prayer will shape your destiny. The power of prayer will restore your marriage. The power of prayer will bring your prodigal sons home. Get into a life of prayer. Be hungry for prayer. Go to bed praying and wake up praying. Watch the difference that it makes.
You've been listening to Regaining Lost Ground, an encouragement of God's Word from Pastor Shane Eidelman of Westside Christian Fellowship in Leona Valley, just west of Palmdale in Southern California. Find out more about the ministry and also stream the Sunday services live at westsidechristianfellowship.org. Look for Pastor Shane's messages on YouTube and follow the ministry on Facebook and Twitter. And hear more truth from Pastor Shane with the Eidelman Unplugged weekly podcast. Thank you for listening to Regaining Lost Ground. And remember, times change. Truth does not. Touch my lips.